88-year-old Merrill DeWald is a slender, energetic man whose cheerful manner belies the seriousness of the stories he has to tell about his World War II experiences. He was drafted into the Army in 1942 and shipped out to Europe in 1944, shortly before D-Day. After spending some time in England, where they used a thick, heavy grease called Cosmoline to waterproof their trucks and tanks, his infantry division landed on Utah Beach the day after D-Day.
We sat on that beach and probably a couple, 300-400 yards for days before we could move, because they put up a lot of resistance. And then we finally started moving gradually.
DeWald's unit followed the first wave of troops into France and later into Germany. During their first stop in the village of St. Maria Glisse, he witnessed one particularly bloody scene that reflected how quickly people can be dehumanized during war. German soldiers had been ordered to hold a particular stretch of road at all costs.
They laid right there and got shot and killed every one of them, and they hauled them out. I went back to get water and stuff for our unit to the beachhead, and we had to go past this truck. They'd one grab of the shoulder, one grab of the legs, they'd swing him and throw him in the truck. And they finally had to pull over to let us go by. And when they did, it was like a jar of jelly, all these dead bodies in there, and the liquids from the bodies ran out the back.
More than 5,000 U.S. soldiers died on D-Day, and the mortality rate among those who followed, like DeWald and his unit, was high, too. Fighter pilots also had a short life expectancy, as did ball turret gunners. They rode in a fully exposed plexiglass bubble attached to the belly of bomber planes. The space was so small that there was only room for the gunner and his two 50-caliber machine guns. Edward Vasek knows a lot about ball turrets. He survived 34 bombing missions sitting inside one of them. Vasek is now 83 years old, slight but solidly built, with ruddy cheeks and a ready smile. He was too young to serve when the U.S. entered World War II in December 1941 and didn't ship out for Europe until September 1944. Once he arrived, though, he and his Army Air Corps crew made up for lost time.
We flew for 7 days straight, and of those 7 days, it was twice to Hamburg, twice to Bordeaux, France, to Berlin, and I tell you, after 7 days of being on oxygen and getting up in the wee hours of the morning and then coming back, we were all pretty well bushed.
Vasek says it was extraordinary that he and his crew flew so many successful raids. Many other bomber crews were not so lucky. Of four flight groups housed in one barracks, only his completed so many missions and returned to the U.S. later. No one in Vasek's crew ever sustained serious injuries, but he vividly remembers one close call that came when no other plane was in sight.
And all of a sudden, there was a big crash, and then the waste gunner come on the intercom. He says, yeah, see up here. So I rode down my turret and opened the hatch and looked. And in the middle of the B-17, there was this plywood catwalk, and he looked like a porcupine because he was full of slivers from this catwalk. And whatever it was, missed my turret by about 2 inches and went out and took out the right waist window.
DeWald also recalls a narrow escape. His unit was in the German woods where U.S. troops had surrounded an enemy battalion. They were hit by machine gun fire from a low-flying plane.
And the plane came down, it got so low, the wings and the propeller hit the trees, and it took four of my buddies, one I just talked to a few minutes before that, and wrestled with him out there in the trees. And, well, anyway, I picked him up 5 minutes later, and he was cut in half with his feet going the wrong direction. And I couldn't get anybody to come and help me, and there I was holding this man dying. And I couldn't do a thing for him because he was bleeding to death internally. That was it.
DeWald does remember some less intense, less deadly incidents from the war. 2 days before VE Day, an elderly Czech couple, with little of their own to share, fed him and his fellow soldiers. The GIs decided to repay the kindness.
I went to every unit in my outfit. What you don't want put in this box, I'm going to give it that lady. And I took back a bunch. Now there's chocolate, cigarettes, candy. cheese, bacon, everything in there. So I gave her this, and she started looking through that, and she cried like a baby.
Vasek went home before the end of the war. The Army asked him to re-enlist and serve as a gunnery trainer, but he wanted to be done with the military, done with war. He believes the U.S. had to fight in World War II, but he's not so sure about subsequent wars.
It breaks my heart to think of all the poor people, men and women, that were crucified throughout the wars. To my way of thinking, why are people still fighting? Why are they fighting? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Nobody seems to care about living.
After Vasek returned to the United States, he worked as a surveyor and power plant operator for the Army Corps of Engineers, mostly in North Dakota, for nearly 30 years before he retired in the late 1980s and returned to Wagner. When DeWald got home, he used his Army mechanics training and experience to open his own auto parts and electrical business in Wagner. He says he still hasn't retired, and he doesn't plan to. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Janet Davison.